You are now on the clock.
But I'll drink to a country song, to another long work week gone, and I'll raise my glass to a long...
Great show so far, great show so far. On the clock, Connor and Nino Reed. Would we get fired if we didn't say it was a great show? We said, oh, man, this has been a terrible show.
No, I think they'd leave us on the air. They know it's a good show.
Well, we've said more questionable things before. So, no, I don't think that would be the one that would get us kicked off. But let's move away from college basketball for a little bit. We had Rob Blackman on to talk about that Purdue win last night, and then we previewed IU and U of I, University of Iowa, coming up tomorrow night at Assembly Hall. So let's talk some baseball. We're in the dead of winter here in Indiana, but let's talk some baseball. Tim Kirchen is on the phone lines of ESPN, Major League Baseball analyst. Tim, how you doing?
Well, fellas, and we can talk college basketball all you want. Maryland, and we're number two in the country.
That's right. I'm sure you're pretty excited about your Terps. We just got talking about Iowa and IU, but I'm sure your Terps have something to say in that Big Ten race.
Yeah, they have a good team. Point guard's great, young center, and some veteran guys up front. Really good team, fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, with a busy Major League Baseball offseason, though, Tim, how have you found time to keep yourself busy? I'm sure you have.
Well, there is no offseason in baseball, as you guys know. It's 12 months a year. It's almost every day. We get a little break at Christmas and a little bit in January as everyone plays football, but... it's still a really busy time, but I really don't like these last couple of weeks before spring training starts. Everyone's ready to go the minute the Super Bowl's over, so let's get it started. I can't wait to leave for Arizona in about 10 days.
Tim, the Cubs really burst on the scene last year with the Lester signing, tons of young talent, Chris Bryant, Addison Russell, Kyle Schwarber, throw in Rizzo, who's only 26 years old in there. They were the quote-unquote winners of the offseason again this year with Zobrist, Lackey, most notably Jason Hayward. Is this truly a World Series or bust year for the Cubs?
No, I think when you haven't won since 1908, there is no such thing. However, I think they're, at least on paper, the best team in baseball at the moment. Now, that obviously doesn't mean anything in this sport. That's the beauty of this sport. But what the Cubs did to fortify that rotation, what the Cubs have done to really improve their defense and make themselves a better all-around offensive team is really impressive. And this is, you know, last year was just step one. This offseason is step two. 2016 will be step three. Maybe it's a four-step, maybe it's a five-step process. I'm not sure. I just know that the right people are now in place for the Cubs to break this ridiculously long streak without winning the World Series. Again, I think they're the best team in baseball at the moment, but we'll see how they play once April rolls around.
Tim, with all that positional talent in Chicago, a lot of Chicago Cubs fans are calling for the designated hitter in the National League, and it's been a widespread debate over the league for a while now. Should the NL adapt the rules of the American League? And it caught fire last year when Adam Wainwright missed the regular season due to an Achilles injury while batting. I want to get your take on that. How close do you think we are to change in the National League and seeing the designated hitter?
I don't think we're close. I think this is something that was a little bit overblown. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, looked into it. Said, all right, we're not ready to move on this yet, meaning it's not going to happen for a couple more years, maybe much longer than that. This is not the first time we've discussed changing this rule. Look, I'm all in favor of putting the DH in both leagues. I'm also all in favor of putting a pitcher to bat in both leagues. I don't care, as long as they're the same rules in each league. But I don't know. I'm a little bit in the minority here. I kind of like it when the pitcher gets the bat. I think it's interesting when pitchers get to hit. Granted, some of them are terrible. Some of them are really good. And I think it adds a little bit to the game when the pitcher bats for the strategy and everything else. Some people think I'm way in the minority on that. But I just say let's have the same set of rules for each league. But I don't see that happening in the foreseeable future.
We're talking baseball with Tim Kirchen, Major League Baseball analyst for ESPN. I'm Connor Runyon. Noah Reed is my partner here on the clock on Ball State Sports Link Radio. Now, Tim, the one-year anniversary just passed to the inauguration of Rob Manfred as the commissioner of baseball, and ESPN did a nice series where they asked you and some of the other writers what would they change if they could change one thing about the game of baseball. If you could change one thing about today's game, what would it be?
Well, it would be the DH, but that was already taken. So I just took a different approach, and I suggested that we bring back pregame infield before every game. Now, that's never going to happen, and I understand why. I really do. But it was me being a great baseball fan, just loving watching infield, you know, 20, 25 minutes before a game when there's literally nothing going on the field, to watch the best right fielders in the American League throw from medium right field to home plate in the early, late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s. That was really fun to watch. To watch the best middle infielders of the game just make the double play 20 minutes before the game starting. I always found that to be a great thing to watch, great for the fans and certainly great for me as a writer sitting in the press box getting ready for the game. I also think it could help everyone defensively. I mean, our defense is pretty darn good in the big leagues today, but it could get even better. But that was my suggestion. I also know it's not going anywhere, but they asked me, so I answered the question.
Tim, one of the recent current events with baseball this offseason was the Hall of Fame, headlined by Ken Griffey Jr. getting in with a record-setting 99.3% of the vote. With each year, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens continue to get more and more votes. Will there ever be a day we see someone like Bonds or Clemens get in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think that day is coming, but they're still, I think, going to have a hard time getting the 75% necessary in the 10 years now that they have on the ballot. That was a significant change, dropping the eligibility from 15 years to 10. And to get from where they are now, granted a nice little spike last year into the low 40s, that's good for those guys. But to get from the low 40s to 75%, those are big jumps, and I'm not sure they're going to make it. Now, someday, eventually, I think they'll both be in the Hall of Fame, but it's still going to be a long road for them to get there. But last year was very encouraging for any of the quote-unquote steroid guys, because Mike Piazza, who I vote for every year, of course, he rolled in finally. Jeff Bagwell finally will get in next year, I believe. And I vote for Clemens and Bonds, and I don't have a great, great reason to do it, but it's just easier to vote for them than not to vote for them. I can find more reasons to do that. Someday they'll be in. I still think it's going to be hard in the 10 years.
Mm-hmm. ESPN's Tim Kirchen is with us, talking what he knows best, Major League Baseball. Connor Onion, Noah Reed here on the clock on SportsLink Radio. Now, Tim, speaking of the history of the game, going back to the 1990 through 2009 season, I understand you had a spiral notebook where you would cut out the box scores from the newspaper and tape them into that notebook for 19 straight seasons. What was your motivation behind doing that?
Well, actually, it was 20 years in a row, and I never missed a day, meaning there wasn't even one day that I forgot to do the box scores or couldn't do the box scores and had to do 2 days in one. The motivation was, this was, of course, pre-internet. This is where I needed to look at those box scores all the time. I was traveling all the time at that period in my life. I was on planes all the time. And it was just a great comfort for me to have every team's box score in my box score book, in my notebook, in my bag, wherever I went 24 hours a day. Because, let's say I was going to San Diego to see the Padres, and I hadn't seen them in a few weeks, and I needed to know, what was going on with them, how they were using their bullpen, it was easier for me to do it just leafing through all the box scores. Because if you really pay attention to them, they can tell you an awful lot, and I really enjoyed having them all at my ready. But unfortunately, the newspaper business let me down. Eventually, box scores just weren't there to be found too often because of deadlines, so I had to quit after 20 years. Maybe it's a good thing, but I still miss my box score book.
Now, do you still have that notebook, and do you still refer to it?
Well, I still have a bunch of them at my house, but after one of my closets was completely destroyed by the weight of all my notebooks, I decided at some point maybe this is a better idea to just start reading all the box scores on the internet, where I can get all the late scores and not have to really count on my daily newspaper.
Speaking of books, Tim, you have one of your own coming out that you authored. It's being released on May 24th of this year. It's called I Am Fascinated by Sacrifice Flies. Can we and our listeners get a little sneak peek of what we're going to be reading come May?
Well, it's just really my favorite baseball stories of my 35 years, but mostly the ones of the last 10 years, really since I wrote my last book. So it's just a fun, easy read. It's for baseball fans only. And the title, well, you'll have to read to see what the title's about. I jokingly or ridiculously made a statement on Baseball Tonight one night that I was fascinated by Sacrifice Flies after Carlos Lee hit his 13th of the season in early July. And I got all sort of unlimited trouble for that, as I deserve. So I decided at that moment my next book will be called this, and here we are. So it'll be out in May. It's really, hopefully, a really fun read. And if you guys don't like this book, then I've wasted 35 years of my life.
I think May will be a busy time at the bookstores. Tim Kirchen joining us, MLB analyst for ESPN. Tim, yesterday I had a chance to chat with Jack Obringer. He works at the Iron Air Talent out there in Bristol, and he said you're a pretty good basketball player. And I wanted to ask you, who is the best baseball player you've ever seen on the basketball court?
Well, I've seen a few of them. I played a lot of games with Cal Ripken over the years, and even though he's probably not the best, for a guy who didn't play basketball in high school, he's an awfully good basketball player. I know John Smoltz was a great basketball player in his day. Eric Davis, from a long time ago, great basketball player. Lionel DeShields and Austin Jackson both told me over the years that if they had chosen basketball, they could have played in the NBA. The point is, there are baseball players are so much better athletes than people think they are. I maintain there are more two- and three-sport athletes from high school playing in the big leagues today than there are in the NFL or the NBA. Baseball players, the skills needed to play that game really relate to the other sports a whole lot better. So I love basketball, and I've played with a lot of really good players over the years, and a lot of them we're baseball players.
Now with Cal Ripken, the Iron Man, did you have to drag him off the court? Did he just want to play all day? I mean, was it kind of like he was in baseball?
If I may, he, like on nights that I was on the other team than him, if his man, the big guy, was a little bit slow getting down the court on offense, he would harass me all the way down the court. And I'm a foot shorter than him. I weigh 100 pounds less than he does. And he would cover me just to give me a hard time all the way down the court. Finally, I just looked at him and I said, would you just leave me alone for 2 seconds and stop trying for 2 seconds? He said, no. And that was it. That's how he plays. So I've said this before and I'll say it again. I learned more about Cal Ripken as a baseball player watching him play basketball than I ever did watching him play baseball, because watching him play basketball and playing with him explained to me why he's the baseball player that he became.
Oh man, I wish we could have some video evidence of this to share with our listeners. But Tim, I know we got to let you get going here, but before we do, spring training, pitchers and catchers reporting just a few weeks out. I know you're getting antsy to get going and getting out to Arizona. What's the biggest storyline leading into spring training overall in Major League Baseball right now?
Well, there's so many of them. Is this great rookie class from 2015 going to take another step forward in 2016? Is the unbelievably great young pitching that we've seen, or all pitching, going to take another step forward? But I still think the biggest story is, are the Royals going to be good enough to get back to the World Series one? And we've already discussed, but is this year the Cubs win the World Series? The Cubs go to the World Series? I think there's a realistic chance of that now, and I think that should make the season alone a whole lot of fun to watch.
Well, we have a lot of Cubs fans that are listening in, so I hope they're not getting too excited and driving off the side of the road at the prospect of you saying that. But Tim Kirchen, MLB baseball analyst for ESPN, joining us on the clock. Tim, always appreciate your time.
Okay, fellas, thank you.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Tim Kirchen of ESPN, just got off the phone lines with him, and man, I think we could talk baseball with him for about 3 or 4 hours and not get bored.
You know, not even just baseball, but digging a little deeper, talking about that spiral notebook he had, the new book that he authored that's coming out. You know,
just revolve around baseball.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Just a great guy to talk to. Knows a lot about baseball. A lot of fun to talk with Tim today.
You know, I wanted to get his take and hear some of his stories from his childhood. Both of his parents were statisticians, and I assume that's how he got into baseball. And you know, he's a stat machine. When it comes to baseball, and a lot of that has to do with that spiral notebook that he talked about. That's something that you and I, growing up with, we had newspapers, but this day and age, you don't see that too much.
No, not at all. It's all internet based, and you know, he kind of mentioned how he didn't really have that, and it makes you wonder if newspapers were still around and still reliable with all those box scores, would he still be doing that, or would he take it away?
He's a baseball purist, so yeah. I can see him still doing that.
Right.
You know, baseball is a game of tradition, and obviously that's one of his greatest traditions. So that was really, really cool to talk with him. Appreciate him taking 15 minutes of his busy time to talk to us. As spring training's coming up here in a matter of weeks, hopefully we can get him back in the phone line sometime later on, come spring training, come Major League Baseball season. Final thoughts for you, Noah, until we talk next week.
Ball State women's basketball coming up next on WCRD right here. Corey Stace, myself, and Mick Tidrow as Ball State takes on the MAC West leaders Central Michigan at 7 o'clock, but Mick's pregame will start at 6:30. So keep your headsets yep. here, tune in, and listen to some Ball State women's basketball.
You got to get it going, homeboy. You got a game to call, don't
you? I do. I got to get out to Worthen, man.
Yeah. I guess other programming alerts, Thursday night, the Hot Corner with Mick Tidrow and John Aaron Gordon. That's a 7 o'clock show, so join Mick for that one, as well as I'm sure you will for the pregame and postgame show tonight. And then Saturday, big day for Ball State hoops on WCRD. Noah and Corey will have the call for you. Noah Reed, Corey Stace will have the call for you from Kent State as Ball State women's basketball tips at 2 o'clock. And then myself, Peter Hood, Mitch Robinson will be in Mount Pleasant as Ball State looks to take sole possession of first place in the Mid-American Conference West Division as they take on the Central Michigan Chippewas. So tune in for those broadcasts. Those are coming up this week on SportsLink Radio. As for us, we'll be back next Wednesday night, same time, same place, here on SportsLink Radio. On the clock, Connor Runyon, Noah Reed.
Good night, Muncie.